Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to tell you, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe that there were nuns right behind Trump, with the whole habit thing on. Because one, I didn't think nuns wore habits anymore. I thought they gave up the penguin outfit. But there they are. Someone sent me an email with a link to there they are wearing MAGA masks and the habit and the whole nine yards. Turns out they are sisters of the Children of Mary from Newark, Ohio. Evidently, Trump held a rally in Circleville, Ohio, and there they were right behind him with their MAGA masks on. Although the one's got it under her nose, so yeah, who knows? Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the countdown to Election Day, our good friend, former congressman and political analyst Bob Ney. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you. It's Bob from Newark, Ohio here.
And that's why I brought it up. I saw this and going, Newark, Ohio?
You ate dinner in Newark, Ohio. So you know where it's at.
So is it really a Children of Mary there in Newark?
You know, I have never heard of them. I don't want to excommunicate it. They might be, okay? But I've never heard of them.
Yeah, because you know they're saying that these three nuns, the Sisters of the Children of Mary, I don't know what you know school that would be or you know what they would be there, but yeah, there they were, these three nuns in the whole garb, you know, holding the Bible like it's a weapon. And
now they say that there is a it's based out of Cincinnati, and that there is a house of formation retreat house in Newark, Ohio. But I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Well, you know, I always said Notre Dame nuns were the craziest. Maybe I amend that because I ever said if I ever needed bodyguards.
12 years, so, you know, I learned to type with a ruler.
I did 7.
Okay. I did 12.
I did 7, and that was enough. Kneeling on hard peas, holding Bibles out to my sides.
Yeah, it was rougher than my 17 months.
Oh,
fed, so.
You know, I tell my kids about my sentence, and you know, they can't believe that anyone would, you know, be allowed to do that, because you know you even whisper at a kid in the wrong tone and there's a lawsuit.
Oh, sure.
I said,
right.
You know, those nuns, they,
world.
They had that pointer stick with the black tip on the end, and they'd crack you right in the back of the neck with that thing. But there they are, supporting Trump. I guess the weird thing is, when I grew up in the Catholic Church, it was all about peace and social justice and, you know, feeding the poor and, you know, doing actual charitable work. Now they're Trump supporters.
Well, you've got the abortion issue, you know, and so that is probably part of it, although some Catholics are divided on that, obviously, but that might be it.
Yeah, to be honest, you know, I went to Catholic school, you know, during those years when Roe was...
Sure.
Was, you know, being rolled out. So I don't know that the church was really into it yet. I mean, I remember the priests walking picket lines with striking workers. I remember them talking about the strikes that were in our area and having food collections. That was the Catholic Church that I remember and was a part of.
Right. Yeah. Now, you know, being in politics, I can remember certain churches taking positions from the pulpit, and then some of them didn't.
Yeah. So there they are, the nuns. Let's get to the big news. Today, there she is. She's going to be seated on the Supreme Court, Amy Coney Barrett, and maybe the abortion issue goes away.
Well, I mean, you never know what's going to happen now on the court. Of course, you know, Biden has said that he'll have if he's elected, he'll have a commission and, you know, see where that goes and, you know, how that all shapes out. It would depend on who controls the Congress as to what they can do on that at all, as you know.
Right.
So that's going to be still dependent, on who's controlling the Congress.
I wanted to get your thoughts on this, though, because, you know, Garrison Keillor, stepped into a whole hornet's nest when he said, you know, maybe it's time for this to go away as a federal issue. Let it revert back to the states. And, you know, maybe we can get some of the other stuff that needs to be done since, you know, abortion is this issue has kept a lot of people stupid. Any thoughts on that as a tactic?
You going back to the states?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's where it will go if Roe is overturned. But, you know, the
oh,
fact...
I'm sorry. I thought you meant the court commission system. I see. Potentially, you know, it could go back to the states. Then, of course, you'd have what we had before, crossing state lines, backstreet abortions, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
They could rule local control, I guess. I mean, who knows, what they'll do. And that's an issue I don't know. I can tell you this, that I firmly believe that they are not going to overturn by any stretch of the imagination, and I've argued with people about this, of the, same-sex marriages. They're not going to do that. But abortion, I don't know. They could make rulings when it comes to LGBTQ rights. They could make rulings, maybe not overturn, but do something that makes a change, a quote tweak through the system. You never know.
Yeah, no, I'm waiting for the cases that haven't been brought yet. Mm-hmm. And there have been some that people tell me are working their way to the court specifically for this moment, so that they can get the court to rule on them. And we'll see where it goes. But not a good day, I think. But hey, more super spreader rallies. One here in eastern Pennsylvania today. We get the president calling our governor a clown. Sleepy Joe, the whole rhetoric. But oddly enough, polling still have him down.
Right. This is a couple interesting things about this. In none of the polls, Biden is in the major Florida, Pennsylvania, except for Michigan. Michigan, he's at 50%. He's at 48 in Florida, I think 49.5 in Pennsylvania. So he hasn't hit the magic, quote, 50 mark, but he has in Michigan. But he's still ahead. Is he diminishing daily like Hillary Clinton did at this time? Because, Rick, people that are looking at this election, Hillary, she tanked. She did tank for a whole wide variety of reasons. You're not seeing the tanking effect with Biden. You might see it narrow. I'm not going to say it's not. And let's see. They are aggressively going after the fracking and energy issue in Pennsylvania.
Big time.
Yeah. And I imagine dollars are going to shift from other states into there. So I was looking at Electoral College today and what path he has. Of course, he has to win Pennsylvania and Florida. If he loses Pennsylvania, he has to run the table, in other areas. So I think the important thing to look at here is that Biden is not tanking at the same rate whatsoever, as Hillary Clinton tanked. Maybe it's going to tighten, but there was a difference with Hillary.
Yeah.
Total difference.
And the October surprise of the laptop, or the second laptop, or the series of laptops or whatever, hasn't really helped him, I don't think.
No, it hasn't. And then this whole Giuliani thing, with the Borat movie, just kind of made people go, oh, because, Giuliani brought
sneeze.
It forth. And, and he was creepy. And
lecherous was the word I used.
Yeah, they can spin it. They can, of course, don't we always lay down to tuck our shirts in? I do that every morning, I thought, everybody did that.
Stand up.
Yeah, you stand up. Every guy stands up to tuck your shirt in. So anyway.
Yeah, you stand up. You lay down for the thing that he was actually thinking.
Right, right.
But here's the weird thing. First, let me say this. F Rudy Giuliani for making me watch that crappy movie, because it was. I didn't think it was all that great, but
right.
I watched it just for that one scene.
Sure.
And my second thought is, if a comedian can get him in that kind of a compromising position,
right?
What could somebody who was actually willing to follow through actually get on him?
Right, and who did it
exactly
in a way that was foolproof?
Exactly. So this to me starts explaining the reasons why Rudy and the rest of them are so off into these weird worlds.
Well. And there's other things. Now, the public doesn't know this, but Rudy Giuliani was paid big money, about $100,000 or $150,000 by the Mujahideen Khalq when they were still on the terrorist list. He was paid to to get some of the rules changed for them. And he did that with an official group at that time that was on the terrorist list. Think about it. You know, he just has no limits. And so I'm not saying that this is completely killed the laptop thing, but I'm saying the source is Rudy Giuliani. And this timing of this thing with Borat wasn't good for Rudy Giuliani and having his name associated with the laptop, frankly.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I just thought it was. Did you watch the movie?
No, I just saw the clip.
All right. I wish I'd have followed your lead on that.
Right.
But it was one of those things where as I'm watching it, I'm just going, I just don't get how you got yourself into that mess.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then what else have you done in the past?
And they said, one of my friends said, well, he didn't know she was 15. I don't care. Well, he was in a room with her.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on.
It is what it is. Let's move along. Now, I saw this story today that caught my attention that said that Trump doesn't have an economic plan for the second term. And it made me go, did he have a plan for the first term?
Stock market.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to continue the same thing. You know, keep sucking up to the stock market, more tax breaks for rich people, more deregulation. I got to assume that's if he's reelected, we're going to get more of the same misery that we got the first term.
Well, you know, when you make a good point because, you know, right now there is no plan. They're just going to do good things, the greatest things, make it great. You know, that's the plan.
Tremendous things.
Yeah, and he hasn't published any kind of second-term economic plan, nothing about the agenda. And what's interesting about that is that, you know, he backs everything he did on two things, the economics of the country and China. And he doesn't have, you would think the campaign would put out something. His first economic plan, you know, it was tax breaks. He quote, now this is really old. I mean, I was back in 1995, we were all saying this, you know, deregulation, make the regulatory end of the government less offensive, on and on and on. And so it was generic wide statements that he made. But you would think, honestly, that because he is focusing so much on the economy, of course it's too late now, that he would have made some kind of plan, something.
Yeah, but that would entail actually thinking about having a plan.
Yeah, well, and it would entail the campaign of actually trying to focus on something.
It's like, you know, they had all these years to come up with a health care plan. Did you see the book that they handed Leslie Stahl?
Yes, I saw that.
And I'm going, it's a giant book of nothing.
I mean, I honestly would like to see what's in it.
Me too.
You know, what does it talk about? I mean, shame on the media for, you know, she took it, she said, oh, this is heavy. Nobody talked about, if I were 60 Minutes, I would have next day said, well, you know, we looked through it, which they can do. People can stay up all night, they have staff, and look through it, and here's what's in it or here's what's not.
Yeah, supposedly what they claimed is in it is whatever executive orders that he signed, followed up by a bunch of whatever the lawyers were looking into. So whatever documents that go to that executive order, whatever there wasn't any real policy to it. It was just a bunch of, you know,
research.
Yeah.
And how they got to where they got to and the publishing of the rules and executive orders. Sure.
Yeah. I mean,
I just really wanted to know what they actually had in it or didn't.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you. I wanted, because the first picture that someone showed out, it was an empty book. I mean, the pages were, it looked like they only had written on one side of the page. And when she opened it up, you know, about a quarter of an inch in, it was still blank pages. Which the joke was, you know, that's you know, indicative of the entire administration. There's nothing there. It's a big, giant distraction, but with no real substance.
I mean, look, pre-existing conditions are eminent. I mean, they are important. They are the backbone of everything, because if you don't allow for pre-existing conditions, then it's complete cherry picking on who gets health care. We all know that. And unfortunately, in this election and the media, I blame the media. You know, pre-existing conditions, and Trump says, well, you know, we're going to have them. And then they all stop there. Well, are you for Medicare for all or not? You know, then they stop there. There's so much more to it. Small group reform. What constitutes a small group? What constitutes a larger group? Portability, you know, from area to area. Or are you going to have you know, a pay plan? Are you going to have a government, insurance? Because we do have that now. It's called Medicare. What are you going to have? And it never progressed, Rick, to that point of saying, are we going to have a single payer? Where are we going to be? Yeah. It was just, well, they're going to argue over pre-existing conditions. And that's where it ended.
And look, the reality is, and you know this as well as anyone, our media, they're not, they're about ratings. They're about giving people, what they want. It's not about investigative journalism. That's expensive. That costs money. It's about, it's clickbait. We need people clicking on our stories so we can, get the ad money. That's our system.
And it's like, look, all of a sudden the president offends a reporter in the White House, and then that becomes the story all day long. The president offended a reporter. Well, first of all, honestly, most people don't care. But number two, the stations, whether it's, Fox or whoever, CNN, they'll run that to death because that's the entertainment value and the shock value for the day. And they make money and it's called corporate media.
Yeah, no, I watched the clip of it and I go, I'm more offended by the fact that we have a president who still believes in conspiracy theories. And I gave her credit for saying, no, that's not true. We're not running that. We don't believe that.
I thought she did a great interview. I have been interviewed by her. I've been on 60 Minutes, and you talk to her beforehand. she lays out some things to you. It's made clear that it's not going to be necessarily always a cakewalk here. But I've never deemed her to be unfair. I went through the process with her on the Abramoff situation, and never deemed her to be unfair. You could tell he was, if anybody watched it, you could tell he was looking for something so he could get out of there.
Yeah, he was most certainly irritated. last line of questioning, Anthony Fauci came out and said, we're still in the first wave. We just had the biggest week we've had since the beginning of the pandemic last week, the largest single day bit of infections. Thoughts?
Well, I think that here's what worries me. It's the hospitalization rate. Look, the quick answer that people will have is, oh yes, it's going through the ceiling. Or the other quick answer they'll have is, well, we're testing more people. Of course, more people are going to come up positive. And I guess kind of both of them are true.
Right.
I think the death rate, fortunately, is not expanding. People are dying, but I'm saying statistically, it's not jumping to 8% or 9% or something. But I think what has to really be looked at, and that's, I want to hear more of this, and the hospitalization rate, the usage of intensive care units.
Exactly.
I mean, ventilators, supplies. These are the things I think that they really need to also tell the public about that. I think that's very critically important.
No, because from the beginning, this is what I've been talking about. Let's say it is only a small percentage of people who die from it. You can't overrun your healthcare system. From the beginning, the initial graph that they came out with is this huge spike in people going to the hospital and just overwhelming our ability to care for people, to where people who have heart attacks or strokes or everything else are actually dying at a higher rate because they're not able to get the care that they need because we've filled the ICUs and we've filled all the beds with COVID people. For me, that's always been the issue. And I don't know that.
For me too.
And I don't know that we've as a country, really grasped it, or if that's too hard to understand, if that's too nuanced for people to grab onto.
Well, it has been, Newark, Ohio. I mean, we have to look at places, Carlisle, Pennsylvania. You got to look at places and how it's working. In Newark, Ohio, one point in time, you could have shot a cannon through the hospital and not injured anybody because there was nobody there. You know what I'm saying? But yet up 30 minutes away in Columbus, Ohio, they were, overrun in some of the places. And I think that's something that's got to be looked at as to where people are, what's happening, and how it's affecting the system.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a big deal. I mean, the deaths are a big deal. The amount of people that have them are a big deal. But again, the answer back is, well, more people are tested, more people have it. But of the more people that have it, what type of resources are we having to utilize, and are we short with
exactly
to help them?
But according to Trump, you know, we're flush with it. We're giving ventilators away, and we've got goggles now. I didn't know we had goggles.
I had no idea.
We now have goggles.
Rush out and get a pair.
As always, Bob, I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Our good friend, former congressman and political analyst, Bob Ney. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.